Today we can continue our study in the book of the Ephesians. Last time we left off, we had looked at the first 14 verses of Ephesians chapter 1. Today we're going to begin and pick up in verse 15 in just a moment. But before we do, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for being the great God that thou art. We thank you that we have your very words today in the good old King James Bible. Father, we pray that you continue to bless our study as we go through verse by verse in the book of Ephesians. We pray you'd bless the listener today. Father, help us to open our minds and our hearts to your word, that we may receive it, that it may work mightily in our lives, we pray. Father, bless us now as we study your words. In Jesus' precious name, we pray and we give thanks. Amen. All right, let's begin in verse 15. Let's read down from verse 15 in Ephesians chapter 1 to the end of the chapter to verse number 23. The words of the Lord say this: Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, in love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here we see in the passage today, Paul, the Apostle Paul's prayer for the saints. Now, Paul prayed for his converts in Ephesus, particularly after he heard of their faith in the Lord and their love toward the saints. You see, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ results in love of the brethren. Love of the brethren. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of 1 John chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2. The words of the Lord say this in 1 John chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. The Apostle Paul prayed that the Lord would give the Ephesians spiritual things that we must all have in order to grow and work as Christians. He prayed that God would give them, first of all, wisdom. We see that in verse 17, wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, we read this: that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. See that? The spirit of wisdom, he says, and revelation in the knowledge of him. So he prays for them, amen, that they would be given wisdom, the spirit of wisdom in the knowledge of Jesus. Now, wisdom is the ability to take knowledge and experience and common sense and use them in accordance with God's will to live the Christian life. So wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Look with me, if you would, in Psalm 111. Now, Psalm 111, look with me, if you would, in verse 10. The words of the Lord say this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Basically, the fear of the Lord in this context involves praising the Lord and doing what he says. Look at in Psalm 111 again, and this time verse 1. We read, "Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright, and in the congregation." Also see with me, let's turn to the book of Philippians in chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, let's look at verses 12 and 13. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Now, men blessed with wisdom were Joseph, Daniel, Solomon, and Bezalel, and many others. Wisdom, you see, allowed them to think like God and do what he wanted them to do. Now, according to James chapter 3, in verses 7 through 18, the Spirit gives us this wisdom, and it has notable characteristics that help distinguish it from mere earthly wisdom. So we need to turn to the book of James chapter 3. The book of James chapter number 3. In James chapter 3, read with me if you would, verses 17 and 18. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure." See, we're looking at the characteristics, amen, of godly wisdom. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." Now, going back to Ephesians chapter 1, we're looking as Paul is praying for the Christians at Ephesus. He also prayed for them revelation. Revelation, the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, again in verse 17 of Ephesians chapter 1, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom," we've looked at that, "and revelation in the knowledge of him." Simply put, the spirit of revelation allows you to be able to understand God's words. Look with me, if you would, first of all, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look with me in verse number 10. The words of God say this: "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Also look with me in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 10. In Luke chapter number 10, look with me if you would in verse 21. The words of God say this in Luke 10 verse 21, "In that hour Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." So again, the Spirit of Revelation, simply put, is the Spirit of Revelation allows you to be able to understand God's words. Now also look with me what Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1. He prayed for understanding, enlightened eyes of understanding. Look with me, Ephesians 1 verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Now understanding, like wisdom and revelation, comes from the words of God. Look with me if you would. Let's turn to the book of Psalms, and we want to look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, let's read together verse 130. The words of God say this, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Amen. And then we also need to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 14. 1 Samuel chapter 14. In 1 Samuel 14, let's look at verse 27 together. The words of God say this, "But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened." Now, understanding is more than mere knowledge. You see, knowledge is an accumulation of facts. Understanding is the ability to use those facts for rational thought, inference, or discrimination. For example, or for instance, a teenager learns the facts of safety driving a vehicle by reading a book or watching a video, yet he does not understand how to drive until he actually gets behind the wheel and applies the facts that he has learned to the safe handling of the car he is driving. So Paul wanted the Christian Ephesians to have this spiritual wisdom, revelation, and understanding. Again, we're looking at Paul's prayer for the saints at Ephesus. Now let's continue on. Paul also prayed for them to know the hope of his calling. To know the hope of his calling. Notice, again, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, what it says here. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened that ye may call, but that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." The hope of his calling. Now, turn with me as we look at some cross-references to this point here, to 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, look with me in verse 14. The words of the Lord say, "Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now we want to take this verse and compare it with what it says as we turn back to Ephesians chapter 2 and look in verse 12. It says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. So we were called by the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, before we were saved, we had no hope. After we were saved, we had hope. Look with me, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter number 8, Romans 8. In Romans chapter 8, read with me, if you would, verses 24 and 25. The words of God say this, "For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it." See, once you realize that everyone without Christ is hopeless, this realization makes you a better preacher of the gospel. Now, Paul also prayed for the saints at Ephesus. He prayed for them to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. Amen. Again, in Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Ephesians 1 verse 18. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance," see that? To know the riches, amen, "of the glory of his inheritance in the saints." We must understand how great the inheritance is that we have in Christ, amen? Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let's read together verses 9 and 10. The words of God say this, "But it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." See? We don't understand. Amen. We have not seen or heard what God has prepared for us. Amen? But we must understand how great the inheritance is that we have in Christ. And then, as a result of that, then we'll be willing to suffer and sacrifice now for the glory of the inheritance that we will receive later. Amen. Notice with me in Romans chapter 8 and verse 18 what the words of God say about this. In Romans chapter 8, verse 18, the words of God say this, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." See? Once we realize and understand the great inheritance that we have in Christ, then we'll be willing to suffer and sacrifice now for the glory of our inheritance that's to come in the next life. And that's what Paul is saying here. That the suffering now is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So the glory that we're going to get, amen, is going to far out surpass any suffering that you and I go through down here right now. In fact, that's how Jesus endured the cross, because he realized that as well. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter number 12. In Hebrews chapter 12, look with me, if you would, at verse number 2. The words of God say, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. See? So Christ also understood the suffering that he went through here could not be compared to the glory that was to come. And that's how he was able to endure the cross, my friend. Let's continue on and look and see as Paul prayed for the saints at Ephesus. We're looking at the things he prayed for them. He prayed for them to know the exceeding greatness of his power. Looking in Ephesians chapter 1 with me in verse 19. And the words of God say this, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us would who believe according to the working of his mighty power? Because we must have supernatural power to live the Christian life and to do God's will. See? That's why he prayed for them to know the exceeding greatness of his power. Because we need supernatural power to live the Christian life, amen, down on this earth, and to do his will. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, let's look at verse 4 together. The words of God say this, in my speech, in my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul realized that when he spoke, amen, it wasn't him speaking. No, it wasn't. He was speaking not with man's wisdom, not with enticing words, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Spirit and power of God. Amen. Not his spirit and power, but the spirit and power of God enabled him to live the Christian life and to do God's will. Now, this power comes from three sources. Let's look at those three sources that this power comes from. Well, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1 and we go to verse 20, we see there's the power of the resurrection from the dead. Amen. That's one of the sources that we get this power from. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Amen. We see in Philippians chapter 3, in verses 10 and 12, the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that currently resides in us. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3 together. In Philippians chapter 3, let's read down verses 10 to 12 together, and the words of God say this, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. We also get the power from the power of Christ's exaltation over everything. See? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 in verses 9 through 11. Philippians 2, 9 through 11, the words of God say this, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, Jesus is more powerful than any being in the universe. So there is absolutely nothing that he wants you to do that you cannot do. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 12 to 14, we'll look at that in just a moment, it is obvious that many of us today still don't understand this, you see. We need the wisdom and revelation for which Paul prayed. So let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, let's read together verses 12 through 14. The words of God say this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." See? So he gives us the power, amen, to do what he wants us to do. See? Now, the third and final source that we see this exceeding great power that we have comes from the power of Christ's authority over the church. Again, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. But before we go to verses 22 and 23, I just want to go back from the second source of power, the power of his exaltation over everything. And we need to read verses 20 to 22. To see that. And then we'll go on to the next power, the source of power. But which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. So we see again that second source of power is Christ, comes from the power of Christ's exaltation over everything. The third source is the power of his authority over the church. And again we turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 to 23, and we read, "And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." See? Jesus, the head of the church, and what he says go. He is our authority, and we must follow his command to rely upon his provisions to get them done. Paul wanted the Ephesians to have wisdom, revelation, and understanding of the three of the most important things you and I will ever know from the Bible. And they are our hope, our inheritance, and our power. Amen? So we see today Paul's prayers, prayer for the saints at Ephesus. He prayed for wisdom, the spirit of wisdom and the knowledge of Jesus. He prayed for revelation, the spirit of revelation and the knowledge of Jesus. He prayed for them for understanding, enlightened eyes of understanding. He prayed for them to know the hope of his calling. He prayed for them to know the riches of the glory of his inheritance. And he prayed for them to know the exceeding greatness of his power. And we looked at the three sources of those of this power that we have. The power of his resurrection from the dead, the power of his exaltation over everything, and the power of his authority over the church. So that concludes Ephesians chapter 1. Next time we come together, we'll pick up and begin Ephesians chapter 2. Till we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.